Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the ministry of I'm in the world, but not of the world. Praise God. Praise God. I'm an ambassador for Yeshua. The focus is on discussing personal experiences, transformation, purpose, and salvation in the context of a spiritual journey. It reflects a commitment to living a life aligned with the teaching of Yeshua and the law while navigating the challenges of the world. The phrase, I'm in the world but not of the world, is a biblical concept that comes from the teachings of Yeshua. Found in the New Testament in the Gospel of John, specifically John 17, 14 to 16, which I'm going to read right now. John, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. Always try to, even though I have other versions here. Okay, John 17, 14, 16, right? Okay, John 17, 14 to 16, and it reads as thus, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Praise God. All right? Now. Okay. This passage is a part of Yeshua's prayer for his disciples before his crucifixion. It emphasizes the idea that while believers live in the world, they are called to live by a different set of principles and values, guided by their faith. They are to be spiritually separate from the world influences and to follow the teachings of Messiah, meaning the one who is anointed. In Hebrew, is Christ. Okay? Praise God. We thank God for the opportunity to be here, for you to join me and for me to join you, and to just to put something out there, the word of God. You know, real quick, we got a lot of people calling themselves Christians. Now, Christians are supposed to be Christ-like. Now, if all these people are Christ-like, you know, that means ain't nobody going to hell. But something wrong with that. It don't even sound right. The way people are living in the world and this and that, and you got the conservatives this, and you got the far right over there, and you got the left wings here and that, and it's all confusing because it's all caught up in the world. Man's perspective on life and on what other men should be doing, following them. But to God be the glory. As I said, this is called, I'm in the world, but not of the world. Ambassador for Christ. Okay? The scripture for tonight would be 2 Corinthians. No. The scripture for tonight. That's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Those are the scriptures I'm going to work off of. 2 Corinthians. let me make sure. All these papers over here. 2 Corinthians. What I got here. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. I believe that's it. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. All right? Now, let's have prayer first, and then we'll get into the, we'll get started. Okay? All right. Most High God in heaven and on earth, underneath earth, I thank you for life, health, and strength. I thank you, Father God, for accepting my confession, Father God, that I had sinned and I'm sorry. And you forgave me and saved my soul. I thank you, Father God, for me on a daily basis sanctifying myself, that you can come and sanctify me, Holy Father God. Because there's some things that I just don't consider or know if I should sanctify myself from those. But God, to God be the glory. You know, you are the one. It's not about the things I'm doing in the world, but it's about you, Lord. It's all about you and what you have done for me. I truly honor you, God. Give you the praise. Glorify your holy name. And I thank you for those that have joined us this evening. Yes, Lord. And I thank you, God. And I thank you, God. Those that have joined us this evening, their comments, Father God, to share in situations and share in the word, Father God. But we ask you to comfort the bereaved families, Father God. Comfort them, Lord, only how you can. How you can, Father God. And help us to do what we need to do to show comfort and love to those that are suffering from a loss of a loved one or friend, family member. And also, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to watch over the homeless. Yes, Lord, the homeless. Father God, it seems like they're just everywhere, and their numbers are accumulating. They're just mounting. We see more and more of them, Father God, with signs and the hands out, Lord. Lead and guide us to do the right thing. Not necessarily to run and fill every hand that's reaching out, but lead us by your Spirit, God. Guide us in what we should do. We need you, Father God, to help us go through. No matter what it is, if we're in the valley, if we're on the mountaintop, Lord, we need you to be there for us, Father God. If we can feel you there or not, we know that you're close and you'll not leave us nor forsake us. We honor you, Father God, and we give it to you because without you, there would be no me. There would be nothing. Praise God. But I thank you and I honor you, God. I truly thank you. I thank you for blessing me to have this ministry, Father God. And it was a comment placed on social media, and it brought me back to what I should be doing and not just testifying every week or giving people something they might like to hear, but this is what I should be doing. Since the Lord saved me and brought me out of what circumstances I was in, he brought me out and he set my feet on solid ground. And I have a life all over again. Not a life in the world, but a life and having it more abundantly, more blessed in my latter end than I was in my early days. But I owe it to God. He is the supplier of our needs. And I thank him. I thank him for my family. I thank him for Unity New Zion Temple. I thank him for the body of Christ. I thank him. I thank him that I can talk to them when I need to or call them and we can comfort each other. We can exhort each other. But to God be the glory. It's not about me. It's all about him. He gave me an opportunity for this, so I'm going to share. I don't want it all for myself. It's not about me, but it's about what I can give to the next person that I that may help them, or what I can get from the next person that may help me. But these are not people in the world I'm talking about. I'm talking about children of God, people that have separated themselves from the world, cleansed themselves, sanctified themselves. And the God of peace, the very God of peace, comes in and sanctifies them wholly. And I truly thank God for that. I do. Without that, I'd probably be lost, be back out doing what I used to do. But we ask you, Father God, to bless those people that are caught up in this war over in the Middle East. The word speaks of rumors of war. And these rumors have been going on for quite a while, and countries are just coming along and joining those that are fighting. And Lord, just bless the people that are not involved. losing their homes, losing their families, losing everything they have but clothes on their back. Watch over and keep them, Father God, as you have kept us. And we'll give you the praise, glorify your holy name and honor you, God. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Okay, now, that's scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, okay? Now, this is the ministry of reconciliation, okay? And I'm going to read a little something here. Let me start by this, okay? Now, let's go to Genesis. I'm going to try and set this up so we all can see why there had to be a ministry of reconciliation. Okay? Now, all right. Genesis. Let's go to Genesis here. All right? And I believe most people, they know the story, Adam and Eve, and how they sinned. They were disobedient in the garden. And disobedience is a sin. It truly is a sin. A lot of people don't think. You know, they think you got to go out there and kill somebody or you got to go out there and mess with the kids or rob something. No, disobedience is a sin because we're going against God's word. Just that simple. I always say it's the simple things that we don't that we get caught up in. The simple things. Not the tree laying across the road that you can't get past, but it's that splinter that's in your finger, and, you know, you can think about it. You get a little splinter in your finger. You can't see it, but it's there, and you get to digging and digging, and that thing is irritating and irritating and irritating, you know? And I always say, it's the small stuff. It's not that real big stuff that you see all the time. You know, it's the little stuff that you're running through your head. Have you all confused in the head, you know? Don't know which way to go. Don't know what to think, you know? We're trying to figure out, how can I get this done? You know, what do I need to do? You know, just stop. Matthew 6:33, I believe it says, but first, seek ye the kingdom of God. Is that the kingdom of God? I believe that's the kingdom of God, yeah. But seek ye first. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's see here. I'm going to do that real quick. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And see, no matter what it is, we turn to God and ask God for help. He will help us or show us the way to get things done, you know, or not to take those plans that I made up, you know, or I'm going to do this and do that, my plans. They're going to work, you know. If they don't work, I don't know what to do then. No, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord, because by me being in a hurry, what am I in a hurry for? I get in a hurry, the end. I get to the end. That's the end. There ain't no coming back, and there ain't no starting all over again. The end is the end, so there's no rush to get to the end. At least I don't think so. You know, just do the best I know how. And do it all to the glory of God while I'm here trying to help somebody, because somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me, you know. And God, he answered them prayers, all right? Okay, real quick, Genesis. Got the second chapter. Okay, I think that's Genesis 2. Mm-hmm. Genesis 2, okay? All right, and this is where it all started. This is where it all started. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, I'm going to do this Genesis 2 and 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But, 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And see, that's not a physical death. That's a spiritual death. No? Spiritual death. But Adam was smart. God had him to name all those animals. And they're still named the same thing today. Their names haven't changed. No. Okay? All right. And then in 18, real quick. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'm going to make him and help meet. Now, let's go and push it just on up here. Okay? All right. Okay. Now, this is talking about the serpent. Okay? The temptation of the first lie. Serpent said unto the woman. See, the serpent didn't talk to the man because, see, the serpent knew that God gave man the instruction, not the woman. The serpent talked to the woman. Okay, well, let's go up here back a little bit, okay? All right. All right. 3 and 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the women, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And see, she had it twisted there. She was just talking. And let me say this real quick. We ain't got no business talking to no snakes. You know what I'm saying? We got no business talking to no snakes. Snakes can't talk. You know, in our generation, in our world, the way it is, the only thing snakes can do is... And to me, that's like a warning. Look out. You know, so we got no business talking to no snakes. At least not no more. Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay. Nah. Okay. Verse 4. Genesis 2 and 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And I'm pretty sure that they didn't know nothing about good and evil because they were pure. There was no sin. There was no nothing. There was no lust. There was no pride. You know, there were no lies. At least they knew of. No, they were pure. They were naked and they weren't ashamed. Okay. Now the snake, he comes up in there. He changes things up. 3, verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. 7. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And see, those aprons, I believe those aprons were their own self-righteousness. Okay? Because they were trying to hide themselves, show that they knew what to do. No. Okay? All right. Okay, now, 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Ain't never did that before. But see, God, he knew. He knew what was going on. He knew. He knew that. Mm-hmm. And 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hadst thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And instead of the man just come out and say, yes, Lord, he's going to put that blame on somebody. He's going to put that blame on something else because he don't want to be responsible for doing the wrong thing. See? He want to try to hide his own mistakes, his own errors, and put them on somebody else. You know what I'm saying? To make himself still look good. But not realizing that God knows everything and God created man. God created man in his image. In his likeness created he them, male and female. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't no getting away, but see, Adam didn't know that. He didn't know that. And didn't even realize where he was at. He was in a place called the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden. It was laid back. It was, no, the weather was ideal. You know what I'm saying? They could eat, sleep. They were good to go, but they didn't understand. And see, the devil, he was smart. He was slick, real slick, okay? All right, let's see. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And see, it's in there. He's blaming himself, but he put the woman first. She gave me, and I did eat. You know what I'm saying? You can't get hide from that. You can't get away from that because you ate it. God didn't say nothing about touching nothing. He said eat, and Adam ate it. So he's guilty. He is guilty. The law was given to him, not his wife. Okay? And 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, the Lord, he asked all three of them. He wasn't blaming nobody. He asked Adam. He asked Eve, what's going on? And then the serpent. The serpent, you know what I'm saying? But he wasn't asking the serpent no questions. He knew that the enemy, Satan, was all up in the serpent, making him do that. So, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And see, back then, on his belly. So the snake, the serpent, he had to have feet. And he was able to talk. Right? Okay? Able to talk. Satan had him talking. So God taught him. Said no. And then here's the kicker here. 3 and 15. Right? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Excuse me. And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay? Now, that's where that enmity comes in at. That's that hatred. You know what I'm saying? From the meanings that I got, the understanding of enmity, now, there's enmity between God and man because of the sin that man did. And it wasn't, it was the flesh. You know, man, he was subjected to sin. After that, he disobeyed God. He was subjected to sin, okay? And that enmity was hatred because of the sin. God, he does not look on sin. And man, after that, we're all born in sin and shaping in iniquity. You know, so it ain't no such thing, but, well, you know, hey, man, I've been saved since I was a baby. You know, I'm good. No, we have to. We have to understand that the word lets us know this is a daily thing. We can't just say, well, I was saved when I was a teenager and I'm good. No, we caught up in the world. We have to separate ourselves from the world. As long as we're hanging out in the world, got friends out in the world, you know what I'm saying? We got jobs out in the world. We go shopping out in the world. We have to contend for the faith because evil is present. Evil is everywhere. It's everywhere. And if the enemy gets an opportunity to put his foot in the door by you talking to somebody, a stranger that you don't know, you think they may be okay, we have to be careful. We have to be able to discern and to tell who's who. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Now, this enmity, it's a hatred between God and man. Because, man, he's all caught up in his flesh. He's wanting to satisfy that flesh, you know? And flesh, you know, God, that's a turnoff for God, you know? That flesh, you know, we have to die daily. We have to kill this, mortify this flesh every day. Every day, because the flesh going to want to do something that we used to do that is against God. And see, that's that enmity. Enmity. It's like we're enemies with God because we got that flesh. It's number one. And instead of being spiritual to where Adam was spiritual with God, he got cut off and because of the sin. And that's that enmity between God and man. And God, let's see, we can never satisfy God in the flesh. Never satisfy God in the flesh. That's why we have to do that thing daily, and we have to come up out. We have to separate ourselves from worldly things, because worldly things are about the flesh, the pride of life, those three things. Now, Eve, she spoke of those things, those three things. Mm-hmm. Yes, she did. She spoke of them three things, and, oh, wow, where are they at? Okay, she saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Those three things, I just can't get them. They're natural things, but people in the world, they get too caught up in them, and that's what they live by, you know? Okay, all right, let's see. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. 1 John 2 and 16, right? 1 John 2 and 16. Now, this comes out of Genesis now. 1 John 2 and 16, okay? 2 and 16. Now, John, 1 John is behind. It's behind James, which is behind it's behind Peter. Wait a minute. I got all twisted up here. Got my papers in the way. Okay. 1 John is behind 2 Peter. Okay? Wow. Okay. 1 John 2 and 16. All right? 1 John 2 and 16. All right? And here it is here. Let's do 15, 15 and 17. 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So in other words, if we caught up in the world like Eve, you know what I'm saying? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You know, those are three main things that hold a person back. It separates them from God. You know, they're worldly and fleshly things. So we have to get away from that. But that's where that enmity comes from, okay? Enmity. And there are certain stories in the Bible, certain instances in the Bible. There's the Tower of Babel, you know. Man, he wanted to do so much. He wanted to build a tower to heaven. So God said, let us go down. You know, let us go down. So who is he talking about? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's go down. So they come down, and what did they do? They mixed their language up, so that they couldn't be one people, you know, and this is what they want to do. They want to build a tower to heaven. You know, they had other things they could have been doing. And God scattered them all. He scattered them all. Now, there comes the flood, build up to the flood. Man's thoughts were sin continuously. He never stopped thinking about sin. And that got the best of God, so he had Noah. He said Noah was a just man. So he had Noah to build an ark, and he set some animals up to come to the ark. And Noah and his wife, their three sons and three sons and their wives, they were the only human beings in that ark. And the whole world was flooded with water, because of the way the sin was. And that's enmity against God. Still yet, enmity. But God so loved the world, he didn't want to destroy man completely. So what he did? What did he do? God, he had a plan. Now, Jesus Christ said, prepare me a body. And a body was prepared, and Jesus Christ, he was born to Mary, the Virgin, and he grew up. Now, this Jesus Christ, God was in Jesus Christ because he loved his, he loved mankind so much, he didn't want to see him destroyed. So he come down here to do, give man an opportunity to get himself together, because he didn't want to destroy mankind. He destroyed the world, all but eight souls and some animals. And he said, next time, if push comes to shove, it's going to be cleaned up by fire. Cleaned up by fire. Not water. Ain't going to be no flood. No. It's going to be by fire. Everything gets burned up. Purged is what it's called. Purge. Just like when you do gold. You know, you melt gold down, you purge it because the dross, it floats to the top. Okay, now anyway. So God was in Jesus Christ come to the earth. His own people didn't accept him. Because he was a man, they couldn't accept that he was the Messiah. They couldn't. They couldn't. But he had 12 disciples. He taught them. They were with him. They didn't have nowhere else to go, so they stayed with him. His 3.5 years of ministry. And his own people refused him, and they decided to get rid of him. Say, okay, fine. But because it was written in the Word, this was what they had planned to do. It was already written in the Word. So they didn't come up with no idea. This is the will of God. The will of God coming to pass. And this was how God was going to reconcile man back to himself. He came into the world in Christ Jesus. And we wind up in, I think that's Romans 10. I think that's Romans 10. I'm going to read that real quick, and then I'm going to turn the mic loose. Romans 10. Is that it? Romans 10. Oh, second. Romans 10. Yeah, Romans 10 and 9. Okay, all right. Let's do it right here. Okay. Romans 10. No. Yeah, Romans 10, starting at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Greek and the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So we got the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites. They were God's people. He told Abraham to separate himself, and that's where they came about. But they got caught up too, wanting to be like everybody else, the Gentiles. So now, since Jesus Christ came, he gave everybody an opportunity. The Israelites didn't want to be bothered with Jesus. So Jesus, he put them on the back burner, and Paul preached to the Gentiles, gave them an opportunity at salvation. Because the Gentiles, they were without God. Being without God means you don't got nothing if you're without God. But the Gentiles were given opportunity. And that's where the ministry of reconciliation comes in at. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. It's not about me trying to convince you that since God bought me off them drugs, you know, that's it right there. No, we have to believe that God raised Christ from the dead after 3 days, brought him back to life. If we can believe that much right there, we can start to build some faith to understand and realize that, wait a minute, God, it's about God. He is our creator. He is our redeemer because he has redeemed us back to himself. And he is our sustainer. The Holy Spirit sustains us from day to day. Because if God takes his breath back, where we at? We can't breathe. If he takes his breath back, can't nothing breathe. The trees, the grass, the animals, humans, can't nothing breathe. You know? But he's our sustainer, and he judges us by his word every day. So all we have to do is separate ourselves from the world and the evil that's out there, because the enemy, he can get into your head and get you to believe something stupid or crazy. You could go out there and shoot somebody down and don't even realize it. You know? And we can't never say, oh, that ain't, I ain't going to do nothing like that. We can't never say that because we don't have control. And the enemy, he has been given power from above. And the war is in the mind. See? The war is not out here by us trying not to do this and trying not to do that. If we have it in our mind to serve God, and I think the word says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And that blocks the enemy out. And day by day, we grow stronger and stronger in the Lord, and it increases our faith. And before you know it, we'll depend on the Lord for everything. Everything. We don't want to worry about our life. Because I think Paul said I can't get the words straight, but it's in the Bible there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that means you die, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord if you're living that life. And I ain't talking about the so-called Christian. Everybody's a Christian today. I'm calling myself a child of God. You know, that's what I want to be, child of God. I don't want to call myself a Christian and that guy across the street calls himself a Christian. You can't compare me with him. No. I'm going to separate completely. I don't even call myself what he calls himself. You know? But God, ministry of reconciliation, all we have to do is believe. Believe and confess with our mouth. It's simple. But we take men take the simple things in the world, they flip them upside down. Right is wrong now, and wrong is right. Man's coming up with all these laws, changing the natural order of things. And, if you don't know or understand all these drugs that man has given people, you know what I'm saying? Our bodies weren't meant for that stuff. No, but there are circumstances to where the drugs can help. You know, the drugs can help. And then also, look at the weather. We know that God allows things, but he doesn't put on us no more than we can bear. I might be able to bear more than my neighbor, but if we're in a bad storm or whatever else, I'm to look out for him. Or he's to look out for me. Is there anything you need? Storms coming, whatever else, we prepare ourselves. Just like end of life is coming, we need to prepare ourselves. God is waiting. He is waiting for man to come on back where he belongs. You know, he's waiting. And all we have to do is accept him and believe and go live by his word. We can do it. We can do it if we want to. You know, some days a struggle for me, but I'm doing what I can, what I know how. And if I have a problem, I'll read the scriptures. It'll lead me to where I need to be. But I have to accept God's will. Whatever his will is, that's what I have to accept. I can't change it. His will is going to be done in heaven and in earth. You know, but still to worship and give him praise, because praises go up. Blessings come down. And God, he blesses his people. He does. He blesses them people. All right, y'all. Mics are open. Who's talking? Praise God.
Okay. Good just evening. Want to say good evening.
Yes.
Blessings.
We have
to be faithful. We have to be true. We have to be honest. We have to be his servant. We have to walk a straight and narrow path. We can't be wiggling and waggling all over the place.
Yep.
We can't be doing this and that, because, I mean, as you were saying about people calling themselves Christians, it's atrocious to people having blood hate against you because you drive a better car, because your skin color, because your house is green. I mean, just to be honest, how can you call yourself a Christian and you have so much hate in your body? Your soul hate. I mean, and people can say call themselves Christian, but what abuse is? People call themselves a Christian and are strung out on drugs, alcohol. It's a atrocious to a house. That's why I do not say Christian. I say I'm a member of the body of my Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because there's an extreme difference in the word Christ-like to what people are showing today. Because I was telling my niece, she and I was talking yesterday, and I told her, I said, there's, what, 10 billion people in the world? And I suspect, I mean, I suspect that in the 10 billion people, there's probably 75 or 80% of them that is destined for hell right now. I mean, 75 to 80%. And it possibly could be more than that.
People just don't want change. That's all. They want to be like the next person in line, but they don't want to change who they are. See? They don't. They want to stay the same. And then, too, once you do change, you know, just like I was a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? I left my wife and kids. Kids are real small. Here I'm running around with another woman. Then I left her and left town. You know what I'm saying? Just up and left. No explanation or nothing. And I didn't, you know, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me because I was in sin. But when the Spirit of the Lord got on me, you know, I caught myself trying to apologize, doing it my way, see? I was trying to do it my way. I said, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good now. You know, I don't have that burden on me. You know, my wife, I done made peace with her, you know, so hopefully the kids, they'll grow up and say, okay, all right, you know, my pops, he just left us, you know, and they'll move on in their life and whatever else. But when God sent me back, you know, that messed my head up. It did. It really messed my head up to the point to where it wasn't that I had to come up with a new way of living. I had to accept that I had treated them wrong by leaving them. The kids were little, my wife, we were young. You know, I had to get to that point to where God sent me right back in here what I was trying to run from. You know, and I had to ask him to help me to deal accordingly because I didn't know. It took a minute, and we went through some changes. You know what I'm saying? We went through some changes. But God, he helped me to grow because the wife, she'd been in the church for a long time. And God helped me to grow and get to that point where I realized what I needed to do. You know, it wasn't about me. It's about them. It's about them. So by them seeing my life had changed completely, they accepted me. After a while, they accepted me because they saw I had Jesus in my life. You know, I wasn't running around here cursing, smoking, drinking my brewskis, you know what I'm saying, staying out all night. Everything was changed, you know. And that's what it took, a change. There has to be some kind of change. If you don't change, you're still the same. Just that simple. But people should not judge you on your merit, the way you are now from your past. People keep your past in their mind like it's something they proud proud of, something I did, that they're proud that I did it. No, that's stuff I used to do. I don't even think twice about it. It might come on my mind to remind me where I could have been, what could have been happening instead of where I am now, you know. But that helps to give me strength to work that much harder. You know what I'm saying? Work that much harder. Lord, thank you for bringing me from where I used to be. And I don't look like where I come from. I certainly don't look like where I come from. Living in abandoned buildings, up half the night, wearing 2 and 3 pairs of pants, make it look like I got my weight going on, you know? No, no. Glory to God, you know. Glory to God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You got another sis on the line. Sis, you got anything?
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord,
I thank God for the podcast, and I thank God for knowing who Jesus is.
Yes.
And I thank God for the for what had already been said, because I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I know that they don't talk much about sanctification, but sanctification makes you to be set apart from the things of the world. Because a lot of times people just get saved and they think that's it. When you get sanctified, that sets you apart from the things of the world. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. And the places I used to go, I don't go no more. You set apart from doing the things of the world and looking like the world. Because you set apart for Christ to use you. And that makes the difference. That makes the difference in the way that you used to live. And that's what the world needs, is sanctification. And that will make you a changed person. But a lot of people on the church today, they don't get sanctified. They just stop it being saved. And they need to be taught to be sanctified, set apart, fit for the master's use, and not looking like the world. Praise the Lord. I thank God that I'm Christ-like. And I don't mingle with the world. Everything the world come up with, I don't desire that, because I want to be Christ-like. Yes, a lot of people saying I'm a Christian today, but they don't. Their lifestyle don't change. But my lifestyle have changed because I am Christ-like, and I thank God for that. And Adam and Eve, they didn't know that they was naked until they ate of the fruit, and they saw that they was naked, and sin would make you ashamed. Sin would make you hide from people are saved. It'll make you ashamed. It'll make you hide. They didn't hide before they ate of the fruit, because they ran to Jesus. But when they ate of the fruit, they hid themselves because they was ashamed. Sin will make you ashamed. And I thank God tonight, because I am saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and having joy and peace down on the inside. And I thank him because I know who Jesus is. And you don't have to wear a sign on your back saying I'm a Christian, because it shows up for himself. And I thank God for that tonight, because in times like now, we need to know Jesus for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to trust him for what his word says. It's time for us to trust God. When we pray and ask God for something, we need to trust him to believe he heard our prayer, and we don't have to keep asking him for the same thing. We need to trust him and begin to praise him for what we have asked, believing he heard our prayer. And all we need to do is give him praise and thanks for what doing. Because he loves us that much to know that we're going to serve him, and we're just going to praise and glorify his name, because he's not a man that he should lie, and he will not lie. Praise God.
No, he won't.
So that's what we should do. We need to be steadfast in him and praise and give him thanks and glorify his name, and not going around with our head hung down, but holding our head up and giving him glory and honor and praising him for who he is. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do, because we belong to God. God is our Father, and Jesus is our big brother. And all that he has is ours, too. It's ours.
Yes, yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Let me read this real quick. What makes a person sanctified? To sanctify an object means to wash, cleanse, consecrate, or set it aside for a special purpose. Sanctification is a Christian teaching about how God transforms a person, making them fit for a holy purpose. Sanctification includes a change of heart, a desire to love God and other people. Praise God.
You're clean.
Mm-hmm.
You are clean.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Clean.
Yes.
Praise God. Fit for the master's use. Praise God.
Yes.
To lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily set you. You lay aside everything.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I tell you, it's amazing to how people think in this day and time. They don't think that they need to give up anything. They think it's okay. It's so horrible to sit and listen to people, I'm saved anyway. Okay, I go party, but I'm saved. You know, I said, the Bible says there has to be a giver. There's a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, just and unjust, saved and unsaved. And they've got to show the difference. My Lord, he took all the sins with him to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not alleviate it.
He did perform
a righteousness of forgiveness. So people had to know that you sin. So Mama says, if you sin, you shall die. I mean, honestly. And they're done. Well, if you sin, you shall die. And they done is the death. It's nothing but the death. So you got to be careful talking about, I'm a Christian, I'm doing this, that, and the other. I'm partying, I'm drinking, I'm cussing. The Bible says, what goes in the mouth, it doesn't defile the man, but what comes out the mouth. So the cussing and the lying and the cheating and all that comes from without. So all of that is dipped under the blood. When you don't do it, you're okay. If you're doing it, you got to do right. You cannot stay in a meek place. You got to get right. You got to be straight. You have to be whole. You got to do according to what the Holy Word says. Nobody can teach you how to do it. You got to go to the Word for yourself. There's nothing you can do for yourself. We got to always turn to my love. My love is right with us. No matter what, but we got to turn to him and show him a complete difference. We can't be out here going to the club Friday and Saturday night, you know, going to the club Sunday morning, singing our choir, sit on the altar board, taking a marker. We can't do all that. That is a sin. That is a sin, and there's no difference. Because there has to be a difference.
We can't do it. It has to be a difference.
And that's and where sanctification comes in at.
The old things we used to do, we don't do them no more.
We can't go there.
You know, we can't go to the club and say, well, I'm going to run down there and see my boy. You know, I ain't going to have nothing to drink, but I'm just run down there and holler at him for a minute. We ain't got no business going up in there.
No.
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
They were wind up pulling us right back out there where we call ourselves getting away from them. And there we go, right back where we started.
He did this right, just right.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah. All that.
Yeah. That's right. Have to make up our mind and be strong about it. And for me, the word, there would just be sometimes I had a Bible and a Quran because this guy, he felt that I should have been reading Quran and the Bible too because he was a Muslim. But I felt self-conscious about reading the Quran. Not saying that was wrong with it, I just felt self-conscious and I stopped reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was that... It gets on you to where you got nothing else but the Word of God, you know?
The Word of God.
If you get lonely, what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You got the Word of God, you know what I'm saying? If you get tired or you get sick, you got the Word of God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comforts you, but should.
And that's what's going to stand. That's what's
going
to stand is the Word of God because
it's
already happened. It's not going to fail. Word is not going to fail. He said, before
that's
his word fell, heaven and earth would pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to get it down on the inside of us. It's not going to fail us. Praise God.
Right.
Now,
well,
the word.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we got a couple of minutes, y'all. Come on, somebody. Okay,
we always spell the word. Because when we come to according to the word, we spell our love. We spell him all the time when we don't do the will of the word. When we go to ourselves, we fail. So in order not to fail, my love, we have to get according to his word.
That's right. That is right.
And the way things are nowadays, things are so advanced. You know, I got a Bible here in the house. I got the Bible on my phone. You know, I got it on my phone. You know, we can take it with us now. We don't have to worry about taking the Bible with us or waiting until we can go to read. You know, it's there for us whenever we need it, wherever we are. You know, wherever
you
we're
get
at.
It in.
That's right. And keep it within. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's Lord. Right. His praise shall continually stay in my mouth.
That's right. Praise God.
Praise I wish you luck. Okay. All right, who's doing the prayer? At 1 minute, we're winding out. Closing prayer?
All right.
Anybody?
Come on,
sister. God be the glory.
Oh, praise God. Listen,
yes,
our wise
Lord.
God, we thank you for this time that we have together, and we thank you for the podcast, Lord, because many people have been blessed by it, Lord. And we thank you for everyone that's on it tonight. We ask you to bless every hearer, God. Oh, God, let your word sink deep into our souls. Oh, God, let us be just not hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word, God. Bless everyone on the podcast, the sick, the afflicted, the homeless.
Yes.
Oh, God,
yes,
the ones in the hospitals and the nursing homes, God. And help us to ever lift up your name in the way that we live every day, God. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord. Because without you, God, we can do nothing. And we just say hallelujah to your name, God. That's the highest praise. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, just help us to ever glorify your name, Lord.
Yes.
Because we realize that without you, we can do nothing. Continue
do
to remember the bereaved families, Lord.
Yes.
Because there are so many, Lord, that's still going through. But we know, God,
Lord.
You are a help in time of trouble,
Lord.
We can call on you at all times, God. Comfort their hearts, God. In the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord, in a special way, God.
Lord.
And we'll ever give you praise honor and glory. We ask you in Jesus' precious name, we pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
Jesus.
God.
Yes,
home,
Lord.
Everyone. God be with
say
you. Say
shalom,
shalom
to everyone on
shalom.
The line.
Shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom.